And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. It's one of the two most widely read, deeply loved, and meaningful stories of life of the Christ. His birth, the other, I suspect, being his appearance to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and the crucifixion and resurrection stories recorded in all four Gospels. Turns out there's more consistency, although there are variations, and interesting though they are, there are more consistencies in the stories that are told in each of the four Gospels surrounding Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, and post-resurrection appearances. The Christmas story is a little different. You would think it would be equally profound and equally consistent. One of the four Gospels, the earliest, the Gospel of Mark, has no birth story at all. Matthew's Gospel records Jesus' birth, but starts a little sooner in an appearance to Joseph, Mary's espoused husband, by an angel telling him to, it's all right, Mary's fine, you can go through with this, in keeping with the traditions of Jewish law. John's Gospel doesn't have mangers, shepherds, angels, or any other such thing. It's a metaphorical poem. It's from Luke's Gospel, the one I just read, that most of our traditions and most of our understandings of Christmas have come. And yet, none of the stories in and of themselves answer the most important question, because they're so different on how it happened. They're different on the process by which the Lord was incarnate. But they all, in a different way, answer the far more profound question, not by what process was Jesus born, but for what purpose? Why did this happen? And that is true, I think, for most all the most profound stories in the Old and New Testament. Not how did it happen, because we really don't know, but why did it happen? And the good news is, and of all places, John's Gospel, which is largely poem and metaphor, Jesus gives us a reality check and answers the question, for what purpose has he come? John 10, verse 10, easy to remember. Jesus said simply this, I have come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly, an abundance of life. That's why he came. Some weeks ago on the first Sunday in Advent, we lit one little candle and had one little bit of glow brightening the room in anticipation of this night. And On that day, I promised that in just 3 weeks, we would light the rest of the candles. The whole circle would be filled, and one in the middle, and the light would become even more bright and more profound as we've come full circle. And that's the metaphor that I want to use to bring a Christmas message tonight. The full circles that characterize, well, that characterize the birth of Jesus, his story, literally. That characterize our life together, that characterize a lot of the myth and metaphor that give meaning to who we are one with another. The full circle of a wreath, it's an image of completeness. And we've lit all four candles and the circle has been complete. Completeness and wholeness and fulfillment, not unlike, and in many instances where weddings occur, the wedding ring and the Christmas wreath are likened one unto another, so that at least theoretically, everyone wearing a wedding ring experiences a little bit of Christmas every day. Theoretically. It's a powerful, powerful symbol. The fullness of time, the fullness of circles. And I think embedded in the Christmas story, in ways that I think enable us to be about our life and ministry even more hopefully, more joyfully, more at peace, are embedded full circles of people and images. There is embedded in the Christmas story we just read a kind of full circle of shepherds. And if you think about it for just a minute or two, I don't think it would be hard for us to put names to faces of the shepherds in our lives, those who have led us, who have guided us, and who have perhaps protected us. You know, when the training wheels came off, you remember that day? And you're wobbling down the street until suddenly you get it. And the shepherd has led you there. Who taught you that the alphabet contains letters, that letters become words, and words become sentences, and sentences become ideas. We call that education. And all of the teachers and mentors and scholars in our lives that first awakened us to the magic of L-O-O-K, that's a word, look, look, and see, and think, and do, and ponder, and wonder, and redress when needed. Our lives are characterized by full circles of shepherds. You know, who did you call when the baby just would not go to sleep? Hello, Mom? Or, in some form or fashion, someone who's been there and knows what you're about. Our lives are characterized metaphorical in the Advent wreath, in the Christmas wreath, in the wedding ring, a full circle of shepherds who have taught us and who lead us still. And also, I think, and the story gives us this powerful image as well, I think there are full circles in our lives of angels. The angels who appear, the one angel that appeared to Joseph and the angels that appeared to the shepherds who said the same thing, fear not, fear not. These are the people, angels in a very real sense, I think, who meet us at crossroads, who see us and give us safe passage through the rites of passage that we experience one with another. You know, Dad falls a little bit harder on the pew when he's just said, yes, her mother and I do give this woman to be married to this man, and so on. College graduation, going off to kindergarten, and all of the midlife, well, we're the job is taking me here, the job is taking me there. The angels encircle us and see us through. And of course, as life ends for one we know and love, we really need the angels circling the wagons. But the mystery and the magic works like this. It's like a game of Ring Around the Rosie, with the angels encircling and providing safe passage, but all of us take our turn in the middle. And every time we're in the middle, we learn something and gain a little more strength and realize that we never thought we could get through this, but the angels have brought us safely here, and we take our place back in the circle, and the next person comes and we provide safe passage as well. The angel says, fear not. It's scary, we know. But we have been where you are, and we will protect you and see you through. Full circles of shepherds, full circles of angels, and now, to get completely metaphorical, full circles of memories coming right out of the scripture. I imagine every day of her life, Mary could recall what the gospel writer says. She took all of these things and pondered them in her heart, the memories. The full circle of the Lionel train around the tree when you came downstairs, and oh my gosh, it's just what I wanted. And every other magic tradition that comes and stays or comes and goes or is recast in a new way. The memories of Christmas, the experience of Christmas today, and again, very profoundly, the people who are here with us and love us, the people who we imagine will yet meet in our lives, and of course, the people who've gone before us, whose presence is with us in a very powerful and real way in our memory. This is the 20th Christmas candlelight service that I have been blessed to lead, although I've been here 21 Christmases. The first Christmas, I'd only been here a couple of months, and we simply did what you'd all done in the past to that point. And in the intervening year, because I signed a six-month contract, I tweaked it a little bit. I added a couple hymns, changed it a little bit. That's the first and pretty much the last time I tweaked anything of any substantive way, because I learned. And about halfway through my second Christmas, this was December 20-something, 1995, I remember standing up and saying, it was the third hymn, and I said, and now we're going to sing, and a voice from on high went, Jerry, no, you're not. The voice from on high, Wanda Mitchell. He said, we're going to sing, and there's a song in the air, because that's Brian J.'s favorite song, and if he was here, he'd be playing the guitar. And I said, yes, ma'am. And we sang, there's a song in the air. And we have sung it every Christmas since, and will every Christmas hence, even though the poobahs at the Presbyterian Church chose not to put it in the new hymnal. We had it. That's why you had the insert. Because a voice from on high, who now joins Brian J. with the guitar this year, singing, and we in memory. Full circle. Full circle of those who lead us, those who protect us, and those in whose memory and in honor of whose life we carry forward and grow in grace. And all of the stories of Jesus' life tell us the same thing in different ways. The angel said unto Joseph, fear not to take Mary as your wife. The angel said unto the shepherds, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And the poet John the Evangelist said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I would contend that the Word always becomes flesh as we encircle one another in an embrace or in the holding of hands, in the sharing of peace, a full circle of love for this time and for all time. Merry Christmas.